Giving thanks. So what are you guys thankful for?
Jesus.
That's the Sunday school answer. I'm thankful for Jesus too, though.
I'm thankful for food.
For food? For your family?
Can I say just anything? Like just stuff?
Whatever you're thankful for. You're thankful for your dog, Nico? That's great. We all love having a companion. Miss Kitty. Okay. Awesome.
I'm thankful for love.
For love? I'm thankful for love, too. The world would be a harder place to live in without love. Amen? It's not very fun, is it? So what's your favorite food for Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Turkey. Pie, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie.
Oh. When I'm the baby, I like the entire table. Where's the food?
Mm-hmm. Where's the food?
My grandma
has made pumpkin pie for mobile meals. She makes pumpkin pie for mobile meals. Well, I'm thankful that she makes pie for mobile meals because that helps a lot of people who need a good meal.
in a computer. Dude.
Well, I wanted to share with you guys today.
They save your lives?
No.
A video game saves your lives, right?
No, they just said funny stuff. Like, the little kids said funny stuff. Like, I am thankful for Iron Man.
See, sometimes we can be thankful for things that are okay, but it's important that we thank God for the good things and the good people in our lives. And I wanted to share with you this verse. It has three things that we can do. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Let's say that together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Here's verse 16. Rejoice always. Let's say that together. Rejoice always. 17. Pray continually. Pray continually. And 18, give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. For you in Christ Jesus. So we rejoice always, we pray continually, and we give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you and for you always in Christ Jesus. Pretty good prayer, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we already prayed. So, have a great week.
The New Testament reading today is from the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verses 4b through 8. I'm trying to find 4b in the Bible. It's up there. I guess I'll read it there. O him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is God's word. Gospel reading today is from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 38a. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here. So you are a king, Pilate asked. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice. What is truth? Pilate asked.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. What is truth? How many of you remember a movie called A Few Good Men? Anybody? Starring Tom Cruise and Demi Moore and Jack Nicholson. There's no one like Jack Nicholson in Hollywood these days. And Tom Cruise is a young upstart military lawyer, and he's interrogating Jack Nicholson, this military commander at the top of his game in the prime of his career. And it gets really heated. And after going back and forth and interrogating him, Tom Cruise finally says, I want the truth. And Jack Nicholson says, You want the truth? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth, right? You can't handle the truth. And as I was reading the scripture, I thought about that scene where Jesus is being interrogated. And Jesus is sinless. Jesus didn't break the law. He didn't do anything that was immoral. And yet, he was brought up on these charges. And the Jewish leaders brought him before Pilate. Now Jesus, as we've seen so far from what we've learned in Mark, that Jesus has gone toe-to-toe and has even stood up to and silenced the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, right? But now he's before Pilate, this Gentile ruler. He'd be like the governor. And they didn't have a jury for this. It was just Pilate. And whatever Pilate said was binding. And the only person that Pilate answered to was the emperor who was in Rome. But during this time, there had been many uprisings, many of them from the Jewish people. And so Pilate, his one weakness was that he was afraid of the mob rule. He was afraid of an uprising. Because if there was an uprising, then that would mean his head, because that word would get back to the emperor. And so Pilate is very careful to make sure that he is not going to incriminate an innocent man. So Pilate goes back to the palace, he summons Jesus, and he asked, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you say this on your own, or have you others spoken to you about me? And that made me think, when we say Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is King, are we saying this on our own, of our own will, or are we saying this because this is something we've heard before? Or this has become someone told us to say that, or we've heard other people say that, so we want to blend in. Have we taken the time to really consider what it means to confess Jesus as Lord, to treat him as the king? We don't have kings today in our culture, do we? We have a president, we have a representative government, but we're pretty critical of our leaders, aren't we? We do a lot of armchair criticizing and quarterbacking of our president or of our congressman, because it was our votes that got them in office, or so we think. We don't have a king. In fact, the last time we had a king in terms of our ancestors was England, and we rebelled against that king and the taxes and formed our own country. So this whole concept of having king is kind of foreign and odd, isn't it? See, a king, their word is binding law. They don't have to sign a contract. They just have to say something and take their ring and seal it with their authority. And here Pilate is asking Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus, after he says, "Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me?" And Pilate's response is, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation, that is your people, and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" It seems like Pilate's almost afraid, perplexed, intrigued by this peaceful man who's caused so much trouble. Jesus replies, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. And if it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." And we know that his kingdom isn't from here, and we know that he taught his disciples not to fight. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, he teaches that if someone strikes you on the cheek, that is in public, turn and give them the other cheek. And if they take your coat, give them your cloak as well. See, Jesus has a totally different perspective, a totally different view, a totally different morality that might even seem crazy, especially in this violent world that they lived in and that we live in today. But Jesus taught not to retaliate, at least at first. And even when they came to take him, even when he was betrayed by his own disciple, Judas Iscariot, and they found him in the Garden of Gethsemane after he had been agonizing in prayer to the point where he had blood sweating, they go to take him away, and one of his disciples takes a sword and cuts off the other, the Roman soldier's ear. And Jesus rebukes him and says, "Stop." And he goes over and he heals the Gentile soldier's ear in an instant. Says, "It's not, we're not going to do things this way." And he peacefully goes with them to where now, after being tried and humiliated and spat upon and flogged, he's now before Pilate. And Pilate, maybe he thinks he is a king. Because after Jesus says, "My kingdom isn't from here," Jesus has said, "My kingdom" twice now. He says, "So you are a king," Pilate said. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into this world for this reason, to testify to the truth." How many of you know your purpose in life? Some of us spend our entire lives trying to seek out what is our purpose. Why on earth am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is the top priority? But Jesus knew, because he was the beloved Son of God, and he was the sent Son of Man. And he said, "I came for this purpose, to testify to the truth." To testify to the truth. That is, Jesus came not with his own agenda, not to impose his will on others, not with a will to power, but that he had all power and all authority from his Father in heaven. And so Jesus came to testify to the truth. He came to see what was really going on and to tell things how it is and to say things with love, even if it was painful, even if people were not willing to follow him or they turned back or if they hated him. Even his family didn't understand him at times. But this whole time, Jesus was willing to testify to the truth, even at the point where his own friends abandoned him out of fear because they didn't want to be arrested. His best friend Peter denied him three times, but Jesus would still testify to the truth. I've heard the saying that the truth hurts, and sometimes it does. But Jesus also said, "The truth shall set you free." Jesus came to liberate us, to save us from our self-deception, to save us from the way that we treat other people like objects, or people hate us because of prejudice, or because they have different belief systems. Jesus came to testify to the truth. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the truth can be a simple thing. I've heard Mark Atchison tell me again and again that you can't memorize the truth. Or you don't need to memorize the truth. You just need to tell the truth. So to tell the truth means that you have to see and hear and listen. And I know from my experience, it's hard to tell the truth if you're thinking about the next thing you're trying to say, right? That when we tell the truth or we testify to the truth, when we see the truth or we search for the truth, that it comes with a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to God and to one another. And telling the truth also means being honest with ourselves and being honest with God. And I think a lot of times we come before God in what we think is reverence, but it's almost a false humility where we hide behind our good face and we don't tell God what's really going on, even though God knows, because God is with us. But we're not honest with God. Sometimes when we're mad, maybe we don't tell God when we're mad. Or when we're disappointed, maybe we're afraid. Because we feel like, oh, a Christian shouldn't be disappointed, or a Christian shouldn't be angry, or a Christian shouldn't be frustrated, or a Christian shouldn't hold a grudge. But sometimes those things happen. Because we have hurts and feelings and disappointments because of sin. Sin should grieve us. It grieved Jesus to the point that he was praying and weeping and sweating blood. And it grieved him to the point where it killed him on that cross. But he came to testify to the truth. He didn't run away from the problem. The disciples, they were so excited about Jesus when they realized he might be the Messiah, the coming king. But many people in the Jews wanted a king who would come and do everything for them and make all things right so they didn't have to take responsibility for all the things that they had failed in, for all the hurt that they had caused, for all the poor people that they had neglected. And the foreigners and sojourners, they didn't show hospitality to. That we look forward to Jesus coming back, even. And that he'll make things right. And there'll be no more evil in this world. But we still had a hand in that evil. When are we going to take responsibility in our lives, in our community, in this church? And be honest when things don't go right, when we fall short of the glory of God, when we try to forgive and we still don't feel better, when things happen to good people that are horrible and we don't know why. See, Jesus came to testify to the truth. He came to be honest. And his silent protest by dying on that cross, exposed the world's best attempt at justice and showed how far we have fallen. But yet, because he took the sins of the world on his shoulders and died on that cross, 3 days later, God raised him up so that we could rejoice again and that we could, by believing in him as the Son of God, as our Lord and Savior and the King of Kings, that we can not die, but live. And even if we die in this earth, We will live again with him in the resurrection. That is the hope that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ's death and his resurrection because that is the truth. That is the truth I am here to testify to. That I am a sinner in need of a Savior. That I have fallen short of the glory of God. And no one except Jesus Christ can save me from my sin and my suffering and the hurt that I have caused other people. The truth is, I need Jesus Christ. And I hope that you wrestle with this truth too. That Jesus came to testify to the truth that God is faithful and God loves you. He loves us. That he was willing to give his only son to die for us. The person he loved the most. And to watch him suffer and not intervene. To let him do it on his own. And God loves us that we can wrestle with our sin and we can come to Jesus and confess the things we don't understand. And we can allow him to testify to the truth in our hearts. To show us who we really are in Christ. To show us who God created us to be. So that we can love God and love one another. And rejoice always and give thanks on all occasions. Thanks be to God. Amen. So at this time, we're going to sing a song called We Fall Down, We Lay Our Crowns. May the love of God and the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide in each of us so that we can go and love God and love one another and love our neighbor and show people with our lives that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.